just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Silly old ram thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes. Come fly with me. Let's fly. Let's fly. Pack up. Let's fly away.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Gathering Offering. My name is Jerry Kirk. This is the 17th weekly adventure out of 26 weeks of an offering that I am offering to my brothers and sisters with eyes and ears. I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. Today is April 29th, 2010, in pagan time. In the Lord's time, this is the 111th Jubilee, the third week, the fifth year, the second month, and the 26th day. As an apology, last week I said it was the 17th day, and I misspoke. I should have said it was the 19th day. Don't know how that happened, but I did do that. I apologize for that. This gathering offering is for individuals to begin to open their eyes and to open their ears. One of the things that I constantly am pushing and try to promote and try to get people to understand is at the beginning of every adventure, I have a responsibility and a duty to do. And that is to make an offering to the Lord. And when I say Lord, I'm speaking of the Father in heaven and His only begotten Son, the Christ. I am joining those two individual units. Now, that may not be exactly the right way to do it, but, you know, that's the way I do it. So I'm trying to get you to listen and understand that you have a responsibility and a duty at this very same time and at other times in your life to offer a blessing to the Father in heaven and His only begotten Son, the Christ. Think about that. We want Him to offer us blessings, but when do we offer blessings to them? Our Father who art in heaven, I offer praise and blessings to you and your only begotten Son, the Christ. I offer these blessings because of the wherewithal, although limited, that you have allowed and given me to be able to reach out to my brothers and Father, at the same time, I offer my apologies to you and to your only begotten Son and to those with eyes and ears because of my incompetence. Many, many subjects that I try to breach and visit with people on are so compact. And I have to make these decisions. What can I fit in and what can I not fit in? And that is the most difficult thing, because I know there are so many things that the individuals need to know. Today, Father, is probably, you know, the most important adventure, offering, gathering, lesson, course, whatever you want to call it. And yet I'm going to be trying to compact this into like 50 minutes, Father. I apologize for my incompetence, Father. I hope that you will forgive my incompetence, Father. And at the same time, when those with eyes and ears hear about my incompetence, Father, please let them understand they must go do much, much more work into the reference areas that I am offering and relating to these good people. Thank you, Father. And I do offer praise and blessings to you and your only begotten Son, the Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to go into what I consider the most important topic, or possibly the most important topic that we can go into. And we're going to be back into chapter 7. And the title of chapter 7 is Time, possibly the most important subject. Did Adam have a time? I didn't say Timex, wristwatch, to tell time. We're going to be going into part C. And part C is entitled 6 plus 1 equals 7. What? That sure doesn't sound too hard. But it actually is kind of hard. We're going to be going into a calendar that is the Lord's calendar. It is called the Sign, S-I-G-N calendar. It's not called the solar calendar. And the individuals that are pushing something called a solar calendar, ladies and gentlemen, they haven't even got the name right. But at least they're not talking about that moon. At least they're not the loonies. At least they're not the moonies. But I wish that they would at least talk about the name correctly. I want to offer you a quote. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he surely shall be put to death. The Exodus 31:15. Now, it seems like to me that being put to death because you may not know which is the correct appointed seventh day is kind of a serious subject matter to me. Now, I don't know about y'all. Doesn't that seem just a little bit important? You know, the Lord's going to kill you if you're not doing the right day. Now, let's take a little thought for a second. Do you really think that the bad guys are going to help you? Do you think the bad guys are on your side? Now, the bad guys in Rome, they tell you that the seventh day is the same day as on your current calendar that you have today. Sunday. If you think the guys in Rome are the, you know, if you think the Pope is God, okay, well, I guess you're going to go ahead and go do something. Now, there's some other folks out there, and basically they're, you know, you might say their headquarters are over in where we call Jerusalem, Israel, which is, you know, it's not Israel, the group of people, it's just a landmass that they renamed. And those guys are clearly, unequivocally Canaanite. And they, you know, Hebrew, Jewish, Chaldee. Remember, week two of this course. And they tell you it's Saturday. Now, do you really think that those guys want you to get the correct day? Or do you think it's their job to kind of get you killed by the Lord? Because that's what bad guys are used for by the Father. And by his only begotten Son, the Christ. The bad guys are used to punish those with eyes and ears that aren't doing correctly. And at these latter days, the bad guys are doing a real good job, and I don't underestimate them one little bit. That is their job. And they're supposed to be doing a good job. They're supposed to be punishing us. They're supposed to be tempting us. They're supposed to be causing all kinds of fear in us so that we, you know, will succumb to fear of, you know, losing some money or losing some status or, you know, getting put in jail. That's what the Lord's trying to figure out. Who's the individual that have fear and don't have fear? Now, if you don't have fear, Let's see, when they take your money or they throw you in jail or they chop your head off or anything, I said, that doesn't matter to you because your fear is primarily described in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's also contained in a verse where it says, fear not he that can kill your body, but not your soul. Fear he who can kill your body and your soul. Now, that's the type of fear that I've got. And all the other kind of stuff is, hey, you know, that's just like momentary. You know, they might be cutting me up and chopping me and doing all these kind of bad things to me. You know, but, you know, the Lord's going to take care of me. I'll die in a little while. Might be one hell of a 5 minutes or half hour, an hour, whatever it happens to be. But that's not even a blink of an eye. It's not even one millionth of a blink of an eye of the Lord in respect to time. We have to get rid of the fear. One of the ways that you get rid of the fear is when you actually learn the seventh appointed day. Now, that was gone over in Part B. But you actually have to understand that there are more than just the 52 seventh appointed days. In other words, 6 days you work, 7 days you rest. You've got to know about the other appointed time. And that's what this calendar is going to help do for you today. Now, I got started on this calendar, and I worked on it for a while, and I had some other individuals assisting. And the other individuals, quite frankly, were hindering me. They kept wanting to be negative. No, it can't be. No, it can't be that. And they kept distracting me. So, after about 15 months of being around the other individuals, I said, you know, they're just driving me wacky. They're negative. They're not helping. They're holding me back. And I said goodbye to those people. And within 3 months, man, I had it locked out and going good. Now, what I would love to have somebody do, and I'm going to ask each of you that are listening, if anybody has got a calendar like the one that is right now up there and posted at freedom-school.com, go to the link, Jerry F. Kerr, go to Chapter 7, Part C. If anybody's got a calendar like that, if anybody's somewhat close to a calendar like that, please have them get a hold of me. There are so many other things in this calendar that I have got, you know, a little bit of a handle on. And it feels like all I have to do is, like, just turn the door lock just a little bit and that door will open entirely. But I really would like to have, you know, someone that has really worked on it. And, you know, I'd love to have 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 people get a hold of me. And in primary, I'm talking about the Book of Enoch from the Ethiopic by Lawrence, chapter 71 through 78. Now, if I've read those chapters one time, I've read them at least 100 times. And I would love to find somebody that's read them 10 or 15 or 20 times and really wants to dedicate a whole lot of the rest of their life to unraveling some of the other parts. Okay, now, the calendar that's up there for you to look at is, it starts off when January 2010 in pagan time. Now, those individuals that can pull this calendar up, you're going to look right on that month and you're going to see what is called January 3rd, you will see 11th month. Okay? So, what we're going to do so that we can begin to unravel this, because the Lord's calendar does not, you know, correspond to what the Pope made up in 1525 and then made it, you know, worldwide by 1775. You know, that's the calendar we're using right now, ladies and gentlemen. It's about 250 years old in actual practice. So what we're going to do is we're just going to turn our pages and get over to March of 2010. When you get to March 2010, just leave your calendar right there, just to that page on the website. And hopefully you will have downloaded these pieces of paper, because if you don't, you're probably going to have a lot of problems. Now, so that you got that calendar in front of you, now we're going to go to chapter 71 of the Book of Enoch. Now, it is somewhat negative to say, don't pay attention to certain items in these chapters. However, I'm going to tell you that in the beginning, because it mixes various items in there, and it becomes very complicated. So I'm going to try and get this uncomplicated for you a little bit. Now, in verse 4, it says, in which gates also the moon rises and sets. Don't worry about the moon. That is a separate calendar that is right there that's working along with the sign calendar. It has nothing to do with your seventh appointed day or your feast. But it says, I beheld the conductors of the stars among those who precede them. Six gates were at the rising and six at the setting of the sun. This you must get. This is primary. When we have something called winter solstice, that is the shortest day of the year. Right after that day, the length of the day starts to get longer. So that is the very first rising gate. The days get longer. Now, through the into the next, the second gate, which is not the second gate, but in the order that we're talking about, it moves into the next month and the next month until finally you arrive at what we call spring equinox. Equal day and equal night. Even, E-V-E-N. Even amounts of light, even amounts of darkness. Now, the Book of Enoch does not start at that particular moment in chapter 1. You have to go to the very last month to arrive at spring equinox. So you've got to go through a couple more pages to get there. I'm just explaining. However, that is the end point of your year, spring equinox. You may look it up in history, and you will find for centuries and centuries and centuries, the last day of the year was always spring equinox. And the first day of the year was always the first day after spring equinox. This is a historical fact. The calendar that we use today, it only began worldwide in 1775. This calendar that we use today was only put into effect in North America in 1731. So all the people that are out there telling you, they know what day of the week it is. They sure do in pagan times, but they don't know what it is in the Lord's time. And I pause for you to think about that. Here you are, we're using a calendar that's only about 250 years old, and yet everybody says, man, we know what it is. We've got computers. My preacher told me. The Pope told me. Are those the Christ? Are those the Father? No, they're not. They are the false gods that have misled us. Okay. So that's the very first part that you need to see in there in the Book of Enoch. You got a rising gate. Now, from winter solstice up until summer solstice, winter solstice being the shortest day of the year, summer solstice is the longest day of the year. Now, from right after that particular time frame, right after summer solstice, the length of daylight becomes shorter. That begins the 6 months where you have the gates are setting. In other words, the sun is setting earlier. It is rising later, you know, in the morning. So it's a setting time. The sunlight is becoming shorter. You got six. The days are getting longer. And then you get six where the days are getting a lot shorter. Now, that should be pretty simple, but when I first read it, I had no comprehension of what they were talking about. Now, it tells you, when we move down into the verse 9, and it says, in the same manner it goes forth in the first month by a great gate. Okay, it didn't say the first month is in a great first gate. It says first month by a great gate. Now in verse 10, it says it goes through the fourth of those six gates, which were at the rising of the sun. So, we find out that right after spring equinox, right afterwards, that we are now starting the first month, but it goes forth in the fourth month. Isn't that interesting, the way that it's sort of confusing, and it's their design to confuse the people that don't want to sit there and hammer that out. Goes forth through the fourth month, or through the fourth gate. Now, during that time frame, it tells you that at the end of that time frame, it says, then the day is longer by than two parts than the night. So it's talking, the day is precisely 10 parts and the night is 8. Now, the month before that would have been 9 and 9. 10 and 8 is 18, divided in half, 9 and 9. Now, if you follow this progression throughout the book of Enoch, you will find, or these chapters 71, you know, and 72, you will find that you have a progression, or the month, you'll say that you have 30 days in a month, then the next month is 30, and then the next month is 31. Now, at that 31, the first time 31 hits, you will see that that is summer solstice. It then continues for another 3 months, 30, 30, 31, and then it tells you in the book of Enoch, and it says, now the day is equal with the night. And that is in verse 25. The night becomes nine parts, and the day nine parts. Wow! Here we go, equinox again. Fall equinox. Even, E-V-E-N. Now, I don't have the time and the wherewithal to go through each and every one of these verses. But in chapter 71, you can just sit down and go through this and just write down the parts. Start in what they say is the first month and see how many parts of daylight, how many parts of darkness there are, and write it down. Then the very next month, write down the number of parts, daylight and darkness, and proceed that way. When you get done with doing that, then go back and begin again in chapter 71 and read which month it is. 30 is the first month. Now, I didn't say gate. Second month, 30. Third month, 31. Look at the next one. 30, then 30, then 31. This repeats four times. You have, if you will, four sheets. Four folds that fold over exactly on top of each other. That is the way to break this down. Now, I sure wish somebody would have been around to tell me this when I started working on it. Because I had to make up various charts and go through this, that, and the other. And, you know, and quite frankly, I took and I did the moon gates, I did this, that, and I did them all at one time. And believe me, when I got done, I said, boy, if you would have just sat down and done 30, 30, 31, and done 30, 30, 31, and just done the months, you know, and then forget about the gates until after you get done. So I'm telling you, forget about the gates right now. The gates will confuse you. But you need to know that the gates are rising and setting of the sun so that you can understand the rest. Don't worry about the numbers of the gates. Those gates actually are for much more complex understandings of the calendar. So it's sort of bad to say, forget about part of this, right? But I'm saying right now, forget about it. Just try to learn the order and the occurrence of your month, and learn the number of days in each month. Now, you got some people out there, loonies out there and stuff like that. They call themselves loonies. They're lunar-type people. And they want to try and tell you there's, you know, 13 months, and there's all this, that, and the other, you know, Wiggum stuff. It real clearly tells you in the Word of God, and anybody can look this up if you've got a strong Steam's Concordance. It says, and there were 12 princes, one for each month of the year. Now, it never says there are 12 months of the year in the King James Version of the Bible. You have to read and have a little common sense. There were 12 princes, one for each month of the year. It could have said there are princes of Israel, one for each of the 12 months of the year, but it doesn't say it that way. You got to be able to read it a little bit, you know, 12 princes, one for each of month of the year. Okay, that's really kind of easy. You got 12 months. Okay, now we're approaching the bottom of the hour break, and when we get back, we're going to start hitting on the calendar, because the calendar is very, very easy the way it's laid out here, but there are different explanations on different bottoms of each of the months. And I did that on purpose, as opposed to typing it out. I wanted it right there in front of your eyes where you see all these various numbers. I didn't want you on a different piece of paper, all typed out, and then having to turn back to this calendar thing. It makes it much easier for me, and it will make it much easier for you to understand. So, this is the bottom of the half hour, and I'm supposed to say something like, my name is Jerry Kirk, and this is the gathering offering, and this is the 17th to 26 weeks. Okay, you know, I don't, you know, why people need to hear that, I'm not sure, but that I've been told and instructed that I should do that, so I'm trying to be a good boy. So, you know, that's what's going on, and we should be getting the music any second right now. I hope that you enjoy this calendar. I have found this to be a tremendous blessing to my life. When we get back, you'll find that you have 91 days of mandatory rest. I love my boss. My master mandates that I get 25% of the year to rest, to study, to take a nap. Isn't that fabulous? Let's see. What does your employer, what does the federal government, how many days did he tell you, you must take it easy? You must study. You must contemplate. You must take an extra nap. You have to eat good. In those days. I kind of like the deal that my master gives me a whole lot more than what Babylon gives me. Be back after the break. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Problems just a toy balloon. They'll be bursting soon. They're just bound to go pop.
Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop. Oops, there goes another problem, kerplop.
Kerplop!
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
I just talked with one of these elite the other day, and he told me the latest of everything the elite have planned for the world for the next 2 years.
Shocking. This DVD, Tragedy, Hope, and Reality, the latest title by Lindsay Williams. Our production team at First Amendment Radio has condensed Lindsay's three DVD set down to a single DVD presentation.
So I'm going to tell you right now, up front, everything that I feel will impact your life in a major way in the next 24 months.
2.5 hours of the most important details of what the elite have planned for America and the world.
Within 2 years, he said, you will not recognize the United States of America.
Will you be ready?
And here is the part that startled me more about anything that he said. He said, war is planned. And he told me where it's going to be.
Will you even believe it?
Gasoline will remain the price it is right now until we have war. You're going to be paying $4 to $10 a gallon overnight.
First, you must see it. Two copies, one for you and one for you to give away when you send a support donation of $20 to First Amendment Radio. Use the chip-in event on our website or send $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. Make copies and give them away. A wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. Tragedy, hope, reality.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use. And then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide, starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jerry Kirk. This is the Gathering Offering, and I sincerely offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. We are working on the Lord's calendar called the Sign Calendar. Now, please go to the calendar that is posted up there and on a particular month, March 2010. On there, you will see that you have a set of numbers on the upper side of each of the little squares. So, in other words, March 1st, 2010 was on Monday. So you read across the top of the calendar, and those are your days according to what, you know, we understand in man's time. Anything that is against the Christ is anti-Christ. Think about that a little bit. Okay. On the left-hand side, you will see some, you know, explanation. Upper numbers is in pagan time. The next item is it says day starts at noon. And you've got dashes right there. That's to let you know the day starts at noon. The first day of the month on all of your calendars, being on the Lord's first day of the month, it will have a one with a circle around it. Then the next informational piece is the Lord's Day by number, and there's an arrow down there pointing to like 17. So the Lord's days by number are in the lower side. Now, The next informational piece is Day of Atonement, and it says 10 in a box. Now, on this month, if you're not listening, you're not going to get your calendar right, because I made an error. On this particular month where you see 10, there is not a square around it. So it needs to be filled in. All the other particular days of atonement have a little square on it. And, you know, so if you didn't listen to this, you're not going to know about that particular day of atonement if you didn't listen to this audio. Kind of tricky there, huh? Okay, now move up to where it says March 4th and March 5th. You will see two asterisks. Okay? Now, down at the bottom on this calendar, there's an asterisk. It says, measured equinox occurs at this time, been measuring since 1999, always the same day. Now, with respect to that, we're going to go back to the book of Enoch into verse 41. At that period, the night becomes shortened. It is nine parts. And the night is equal to the day. Okay, if it's equal, so night's nine parts, then if it's equal, then the day is nine parts, nine and nine. The year is precisely 344 days. Well, how can that be? You know, we know there's 365 and a quarter days in a year. Well, just, you know, with the it takes like about 20 minutes to go through that entirely. But let's try the common sense approach. 6 days you labor, seven you rest. Clearly you got 7 days in a week. Seven divides into 364 exactly to 52 weeks. Seven divided into 365 and a quarter comes 52 weeks, one and a quarter days. Where is there a verse anywhere in any scriptural book of the Lord's, not the Canaanite books, what you do with that other day and a quarter? Are we really to believe that the Father in heaven did not know how to multiply and divide? Just on the basic level right there. Think about it. That extra day and a quarter violates the very first verse that I gave you in this lesson. 6 days you labor, seven you rest. So what some other people said, well, you know, we cannot work this out. So we'll just say that the first day of the year is different than the first day of the first week, and it's different than the first day of the first month, and they all start at a completely different time. Oh, boy, that's really nice and, you know, understanding. Not any confusion to that. And we are so smart that we can, you know, have the first day of the year and the first day of the first week, the first day of the first month, they're all different. Think about that a second. Use your noodle. Okay. Going back to the calendar, this becomes very simple. It always occurs, and if you looked at Part B of this chapter, when we did it, your seventh appointed day is always on Thursday at noon to Friday at noon, of which you actually need to measure and find out what time at noon is. It's not, you know, based on a 600-mile-wide area when they tell you it's 12 o'clock in Central Time. No, it's a little bit different towards the east than when it is noon here and what it is west. You got to know what time it is. Right here where I particularly am, by measurement. Not by looking it up, although somebody looked it up after I measured it. I found it to be 12:17 by the way I measure stuff. Hopefully before this course is over, I'll have some people got some of that fancy technology, you know, and they're going to come film this stuff and put it up on, you know, where it can go on the computer and you can see some of my little, you know, homemade stuff. And, you know, I'm able to get absolutely accurate measurements, you know, cheap, very cheap. Doesn't cost much to make this stuff. So it becomes very simple. You got your first month begins on what we would call March 5th. And 14 days later, bingo, bango, you've got Feast of Passover begins. However, go back to March 14th. That is the 10th day. It's a day of atonement. Your day of atonement is a rest day. It is required for you not to do any more labor. Oops, did I skip something? First day of the month, which was on March 5th and 6th. It says first day of the month. The first day of the month of each of the 12 months is a required day of rest. Now, if you take your 52 weekly Sabbaths, seventh appointed days or Sabbath. I slip all the time and want to go back to that word. If you take your 3 days of atonement, if you take your 12 first days of the month, and you take the interior days of your feast, I say interior days because the feast always began on a seventh appointed day, and they always end on a seventh appointed day. So that actually makes 8 days, but they're already counted the first day of the feast and the very last day of the feast. You got six in between. Total 24. You add all those up, being your weekly appointed day, your first days of your month, your 3 days of atonement, and your interior days of your feast, which are 4 times 24, you wind up with exactly 91 days. Now, one of the most frustrating things for me, but yet when I say frustrating, it's because I couldn't prove that I'm wrong. I could only find 3 specific days of atonement in all of my research. And did I tell you there's 4 feasts? Most people say, well, there aren't 4 feasts. Well, yes, there are. Look at this calendar, ladies and gentlemen. It does not take a genius to go through this month by month by month and to read the notes on the bottom of each of these monthly calendars. I'm not going to sit there and be boring to you when you, if you have the wherewithal, and that means the diligence, to go through and read this, you can get it. If you don't have the wherewithal, the diligence to go through this, you're not going to get it even if I spend 5 or 10 hours talking to you. You, your individual self, have got to go to chapter 71 and hammer it out with this calendar in front of you. Now, I also put up a blank piece of paper with just the squares on it. When you learn this calendar, you've got 12 months of this calendar out there in front of you right now available. And if you can put in 2 or 3 hours on this thing, you're going to get it. You're going to be able to reproduce 2011, 2012, and so forth every year. You're going to have to actually photocopy 12 pieces of paper with squares on. You're going to have to take man's calendar and write it in each month. And each month you will then, by following the formula on this calendar, by just keeping this calendar, I haven't thrown any of mine away. I've got them all in a large folder. And I've got every single year since I've learned the calendar, and I maintain that record. And I've got that record. And it's right here beside me. And, you know, I go back and I check it and I look at the, you know, the way man starts telling you that, you know, they tell you, you know, equinox always occurs on the 20th or the 21st. Well, I go out there and I measure it. I guarantee you beyond a shadow of a doubt, you come to my house, you measure it, and you will say, guess what? They're lying to me. It ain't equinox. They completely, totally lie to you. When they tell you equinoxes, the definition nowadays has been changed that when the sun crosses the equator, that has nothing to do with equinox. Now, at the equator, all of your almanacs, all of your calendars get their information from the United States Department of Defense, Naval Marine Observatory at the equator. They're giving you, the military is giving you the information. Don't you trust the government? Aren't you positive they've got it correct? And they tell you the only way you can measure equinox is if you're at the equator. Okay, get a map out, look in your Bible, and show me when the Israelites were ever within 1,800 miles of the equator. It's ludicrous. Now, if you will go to older encyclopedias, you will find that not too many years ago that they told you equinox occurred on the 22nd. And then you go to one older and it occurred on the 23rd. And then you go to an older encyclopedia, it'll tell you it was on the 25th of March. They keep lying to you. But all you have to do is look this up to see they've been lying every so many decades. They tell you, whoops, equinox slipped back. Do some actual reading, ladies and gentlemen. Do some actual research. You will find that the calendar that you've got in front of you called the Gregorian calendar that we're using was instituted by Pope Gregory by a papal bull. 1525. Go look that papal bull up. Look at the details and the rules and regulations that went with that papal bull. You'll find it in, let's see, 1575, 1625, 1675, and in certain references, 1725, but that's kind of iffy. But unequivocally in 1775, when they went worldwide, they took 10 days off the calendar. So it's boop. Let's see, January 1st became January 10th. What happened to those 10 days? Now, they did not change the order of so-called Sunday through Saturday. They just, whoop, 10 days came off the calendar so they could kind of keep it straight. Well, do some actual reading outside of your public fool system, history books, and read some actual letters from the guys who are in the Revolutionary War. And they were sitting there wondering why in the hell it was in, you know, where they were in snow in May, June, and July. Why was it wintertime? It's because they've been playing with us, with our time. The reason they play with us, ladies and gentlemen, with our time, is so that the Lord will kill you for not keeping the seventh appointed day. It's that simple. That's what the bad guy's job is to cause us to get killed. And they do a pretty good job of it. And everybody says, whoa, that doesn't seem fair. Read the Word of God. He tells you, keep my laws, my statutes, my ordinances, my commandments, and your life will be prosperous. You will have great times. You will be without sickness. You will have plenty to eat. You will live longer. But he also says, don't do my law, and I am going to hand your head to you in a basket. Read the parts of the Bible about the punishment. People don't do that. The calendar is not that hard as far as getting that. You want to dig in and dig deep, you can do it. You have to know where to go. There are three calendars that are visited between chapter 71 and 78 of Enoch. I suggest that you stay away from the other two and three, to the second and the third calendar. If you haven't got this sign calendar down, you're going to have trouble. I will suggest to you that certain parts of the second and third calendar took me a lot of time to unravel parts of them and to knock it down. Okay? You know, if you're just now getting started, you don't start out with a 24-ounce T-bone steak. Kind of start out with something a little bit easier to chew and get down in your belly. You know, you can get right on up there, 24-ounce T-bone steak, but, you know, you don't do it the very first day. So give yourself a little patience. Now, towards the end of this little adventure this week, I'm going to do something that is not going to be typed out on freedom-school.com. It's not going to be repeated at any other time that I can think of in my mind that I'm going to do this. And it's only going to be available in the next 5 to 7 minutes for those people that want to listen to this audio or go to the archives. And by the way, the archives, I paid for the archives at firstamendmentradio.com. And you can go there and you can listen to these verbals any time of the day or night that you want to. Just keep searching for the gathering offering. I only hit there one time a week, as you all know, Thursdays at 4 p.m. And search through there. You'll find the archives, and that mine are for free. You don't have to pay money to listen to my archives, okay? What I'm going to do right now that's not going to be typed out is I'm going to try to answer a question that everybody with eyes and ears, and even those without eyes and ears, want to know. And that question is, who am I? Not who Jerry Kirk is, but who are you? What are you? Is there a way to define you, Billy and Bob and Sue and Ann and all the individual listeners? Is there a way to find out who you are? Yes, there is, and it's in the Word of God. You may go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And this is called the Beatitudes, and people call say there's 10 of them. Read them carefully, ladies and gentlemen. There are only 7. Read them carefully. You'll find there's only 7. And then the next thing that you want to do to become aware of, to find out who you are, and believe me, nobody else can find out who you are. Only you can do this. I can't do this. You can do it, but you have to be dead honest with yourself. The second thing you want to do is go to chapter 2 of the book of Revelations about the 7 churches. You got 7 Beatitudes. You got 7 churches. When you read the Beatitudes, be very cautious, because the words that are there, you may not have the correct understanding. Now, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, does that mean people walking around, running around loving, you know, having love-ins, and I love everybody, and everybody's wonderful, and everybody's merciful? No. A peacemaker is somebody, to give you an analogy, they walked around in the Old West with a 45 long strapped on their side, and they were called a peacemaker. The covenant of peace was given to Phinehas, and that was because he was instant in season and out of season. He saw an Israelite man having at it with a Canaanite woman. He picked up his javelin and ran them both through and killed them immediately because it was against the Father's law. Read it. Look up the covenant of peace. That is a peacemaker. One that roots out evil and destroys evil. So, when you're looking at something that says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, does that really mean that they don't have any spirit, or does that mean that they have rich in spirit? Of course it does. The word spirit wasn't there. It means rich in attitude. They changed the words. You must think about what these words are. You must think whether or not how you are, and be honest with yourself. And you can find yourself, your particular personality, in the 7 Beatitudes. Now go back to the 7 churches in Revelations chapter 2 and carefully read about each church and analyze your life. What have you been doing in your life? And when it gets to the part and it says, and I'll just go to one right here in the first church, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Okay, that's a criticism of the guys in the first church. Now, Jerry Kirk, when he read this, Jerry Kirk knew exactly something. What was my first love? I love law. I absolutely, you know, it blows my skirt up. I've always loved law. The reason I love law is because I felt there's a way in man's law to make everything so we actually were all equal. And there ain't no way in man's law. But there is in the Father's law. Go to the second church and read about those guys in there that says that you should be tried and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. Well, you know, are there some of you guys out there that aren't really studying the law much, and you're always fighting, and you always seem to wind up getting in jail, getting in trouble? Analyze your personality that you can find in each of these churches and in each of these Beatitudes. If you will study the Beatitudes, and if you will study the churches diligently, and if you will be 1,000% honest with yourself, be humble to yourself. Don't make up false pretenses in your head. You can discover who you are. When the individual can answer the question, who am I? You have ability. You remove the doubt in your life. And you become more complete. You don't become totally complete, but now you know what path you're on. You understand what your job is. You understand where you need to correct yourself, especially in reading the churches. You will read in one of the churches about, you know, he's got something against them because they teach the method of Baal that Balak taught Balaam. And yet you haven't discovered what that is. Before this course is over, I will be offering that to you. And you will have to say, you know, I've been doing that. I've been doing that all my life. I need to correct it. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. This is very, very important to you, to get yourself on a little more solid rock, granite rock. You may learn and discover. If I've known you for 20 years and you were my next door neighbor and we went hunting and fishing and we worked together and we ate together and everything else, I cannot know which of the seven Beatitudes and which of the seven churches you fall in. Only you can do this for yourself. I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. You're going to have to work on it. You're going to have to be honest with yourself. You have to put in time. I can only sort of shorten the amount of, you know, where do you go look here? What do you do? Where is it? I can't do all your work for you. And if you think you can do this by just listening to this show or just reviewing the materials, you're wrong. You're going to have to work your butt off. You're going to have to study, and you're going to have to get contemplation time. That's why the Lord gives you 91 days of rest. I like my life. Blessings to those guys. Y'all have a great day today. Look forward to visiting with you next week. We're hammering on one of my buddies I love, the IRS. Love to whoop their ass. We'll talk about that.
Cars, nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time. Like the man says one more time. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy.